That's John 11:25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. Now, you don't have anything to do with the Lord unless you believe in him. We were speaking Tuesday in our Bible study about what that belief is. And that belief is very personal. It's so personal that I totally take Christ as my own. Who is this Jesus? I'll let you know who he is. He is the resurrection. He is the first that will ever, that has ever gotten up from the dead. And he is the one that will cause me to get up from the dead. That's the kind of Christ I believe in. And that belief means to take him. That means that I live different. That means that that belief governs the way I live, the way I act, the way I talk, what I put in my body, what I put on my body, and what comes out of my body. I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Listen to the words of Jesus. The basis of your Christian belief is this. If you believe in Christ, even though we'll die one day, we will live with him eternally. And whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus says, shall never die. That has nothing to do with physical death, rather spiritual death. It is said of Christians like this. If you are a believer, you only die once. But if you are a sinner, you must die twice. Now, why do I say that? Jesus gives some authentication for the first statement that I made in John here when he says that if you believe in me, though you die, you shall live. I may have to die physically, and I say may. Why? Because Christ may come tonight. I may have to die physically one time. Physically I die, but spiritually I'll never die. The sinner or the man or woman that does not know Jesus Christ personally will die physically, and then he will die a second time, the Bible says. In Revelation, John calls it the second death. He dies spiritually, where he is separated from God. I will never be separated from God. What is the basis of your Christian belief? What is the basis of your Christian belief? When people come to you with the questions and say, why Jesus? Because Jesus has promised me that I'll only die once and I will live with him forevermore. But it's conditional, folks, that you believe. You believe. I take, I trust, I rely, I depend upon. I was telling my neighbor down the street yesterday, I mentioned it in a sermon 2 weeks ago, I says, I like to put it this way to you, Johnny. I am doomed to live for Jesus. That's it. And you know what doom means, don't you? You have no other way out but to live for him. That's what it's all about. Till death do me part. I will live for him. Who is this Jesus? In John 14:6, he says, I'll tell you who I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to God but by me. Listen to his words. Who is this Jesus that we put our trust in as Christians? The basis for my Christian belief is this. Jesus says, I am the only way. I am the lasting truth. I am eternal life. No man, that takes in all other religions, church. Very, very narrow, isn't it? But I believe the Bible. Jesus says, no man comes to God but by me. Now that tells us something about religion. There is no other mediators. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. All right? And here Jesus tells us with his own words. He says that he is the end of all hope. He is the end of my hope. He is the beginning of it, and he is the end. He is the ultimate bond between men and God. That's the basis of my Christian belief. He is the ultimate bond. Why do you think I preach a sermon like this? Because I'm going to be very candid and upfront. Most Christians don't know. They don't even know why Jesus. They believe it because the preacher preaches it. I'm trying to get you to see that it is Jesus that is the basis of your Christian hope. Hear his contemporaries ask him, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus told him exactly who he makes himself to be. I am God. I am that I am. I am the pre-existent one. I exist for no other reason but the mere virtue of my existence. I am the beginning of existence. And I like it because I was listening to this on a sermon last night. Time to us is relevant. You know what I mean? We have to have words to accommodate us, like tomorrow, next year, eternity. That's relative terms. Because with God, everything is now. See, God does not think in terms of tomorrow. God does not, believe me, he doesn't, because see, he's not a human being like us. He is not restricted to 1985. Those are relative terms to keep us stable here. God only thinks in terms of right now. And so when somebody asks you the basis of your belief, it is in Jesus, because he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. What other religious leader can say that? Let me define that a little bit more for you. Through Jesus, therefore, since he is the way, the truth, and the life, through Jesus, and only Jesus, the basis of your Christian belief, comes mediation, justification, and sanctification. Through Jesus comes mediation. He mediates to God for me. No other religious leader can do that. No other deity can do that. Through Jesus comes justification. All right, I am justified, that's right. I am justified in my walk because I have taken Christ personally in my life. Through Jesus comes sanctification. He thoroughly cleanses me from day to day. That's why I am a Christian. That's why Jesus is the Lord of my faith. Jesus also answers his contemporaries when they say, whom makest thou thyself? He says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells who he is. He says, come to me. And in coming to me, you will have rest unto your souls. Jesus identifies himself. The challenge is given. My question is to the church and to people outside of the church today, are there any takers? He says, I challenge you to come to me. Now, we do not come to Jesus as a last resort. But then again, we do. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You wait until you're totally blown away. You're almost dead. And then you come to Jesus and say, now, Lord, God wants you to come while you're in your right frame of mind where you can think and make a decision. I choose today to come unto him. Come unto me, all ye that labor. See, your labor is in vain. Who is this Jesus? He is the one that says that your labor is in vain and he will provide peace for you. Is there anybody sitting out in the sound of my voice that's lonely? Jesus says, come to him. I mean lonely, lonely, lonely. I get extremely lonely at times. I have a wife and two daughters and a lot of friends. And you know I get extremely lonely, but I can go to Jesus because he understands me. Is there anybody here in this room that's totally forsaken? Well, what my peers think about me, what people think about me, come to Jesus. He understands that. Is there anybody in this room that is just perplexed or troubled? I'm telling you that you can come to Jesus. He is the basis of your belief. Are you dismayed? Are you totally confused? Come to Jesus. He understands. His teaching was very direct and very self-centered. In all these scriptures that I quoted, Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the light. I am the resurrection. I am the way. Come to me. Very self-centered. The basis of my belief is that I put my trust in a self-centered figure or deity, which is God in the flesh. Not self-centered in the sense that we mean it. I said that Jesus is the center and the circumference.
Hi, this is John Coleman, the recorder of the Pointy Tape Ministry. Again, it's a great privilege to share with you another preached sermon there.
Well, you know, it was time to turn the tape over. That's what that's all about. Hope that you're enjoying it. You know, I was thinking about something as I was putting this together to put up on the website, and just want to share something with you young men out there, and so that you can know a little bit more about the development of your sermon. How much time do you spend in sermon preparation? Do you spend a lot of time trying to put things into the sermon to excite the people, to get the people to respond to what you're saying? Because that's a mistake if you do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to waste your time attempting to, well, I got to say this because I got to put some points in there. You know, a lot of black preachers would tell you, all right now, boy, stuff in there to keep these people happy and keep them awake, because if not, they're going to go to sleep on you. I want to share something with you. Sometimes you can listen to me preaching an exciting sermon. At times, this isn't one of those. It may appear to be not exciting, but the purpose of this was to identify who Jesus was and to get the people to take down the facts. A lot of your preaching are to be done like lectures. That's the way the preaching was done in the first century. Trust me, the Apostle Paul and the preachers in the first century did not get in there and jump the pews and scream and holler and have some kind of a Hammond flute organ or any kind of musical instrument to keep the preacher jumping and hooping and hollering. No, that's a black thing, I think, and I don't think that it works towards the mind for understanding good expositional teaching. Now, some of you out there, even some of you preachers, may disagree with me, because you know what you may say? You may say, wait a minute, John, I know black people. Black people are not going to sit down and listen to that. Yeah, they probably won't, but Christians will. Christians will, trust me, Christians will. There's a picture that I want to put up, I guess, next to this thing when I put it up on the website, and I hope that I remember. And it's a great little picture that I have of a group of teenage students, and they happen to be white, up in the Washington State area that I visited a number of years ago, and brought a lecture up there with Dean Gulcher. And I was standing out on the porch of this fellowship hall where we had the lecture amongst the children. They sat and listened to me as I spoke for about 90 minutes and didn't flinch, didn't go to sleep, stayed awake. Now, I'm wondering why we as a people can't do that. You know why you can't? Because you're not, because the people at times, I don't want to say you, but the people are not interested in the word of God. When you have people that'll go to sleep on a message like this, those people are not interested in God at all. I recall that when my daughters went to church, my daughters were extensive note takers, along with my wife, Lucy. And after we would get home and have Sunday dinner after service, we'd sit at the table. We always had Sunday dinner at the table. It was every Sunday. We practically never went out. Only time that we went out Sunday after church is if there was a special event, a birthday or something like that. But Lucy cooked and we ate. That, I mean, it was, man, it was beautiful. That I miss so much. As a matter of fact, I was up last night. I had two chicken breasts and I put it in the oven, seasoned it up all nice. And before I went to bed, I turned the oven off and it's still there. And I'm just going to heat it up this morning and have a little, because it's just not even 6:30 in the morning while I'm doing this. But I cook. Why do I cook? And I do that because she did. But we would sit at the table and that's when the notes would come out. And the girls would say, Daddy, you said this, you said that. Verbally, you can't use that kind of language. I didn't say, well, the Holy Spirit was dead. No, they were correcting me because my girls at the time when they began to, let's see, 1985. Yeah, they were teenagers. And let's see. Yeah, they were teenagers and taking the advanced studies in their school. And they were saying, you want to work on your diction. As a matter of fact, at the time when this particular sermon was preached, let me see, 1985, I had not gone, I only had one degree. I had a 2-year junior college degree. I had not even gone back to Cal State to get my bachelor's. Let me see. Or had I? Let me see. Let me get the years right. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I was in Cal State University working on my bachelor's because I graduated from Cal State in 1986. And this was preached in 1985. So I was a year from graduating with the bachelor's degree. This sermon was preached, brother and sisters, before I went into Talbot Theological Seminary. This sermon was preached before I went to seminary. So now this should tell you something about God. You don't need seminary to make you a preacher. You're a preacher before you go to seminary. That's the way I look at it. Because if you're going to seminary to become a preacher, or if you're going to Bible study to become a preacher, no. You just go there to fine-tune what God has already started in you. That is what God wants you to do. I'm taking this time talking with you because I want you to know what happens in the processes of you working towards developing the sermon. For those of you that think, well, you're kind of boring, man. This stuff puts me to sleep. That's nothing but a lecture. What do you think Jesus did when he spoke?